I'm Elaine Shannon.
I'm Dana Lloyd. Welcome to Soul Sister Conversations, the podcast where we inspire and empower you to connect more soulfully to yourself. In this episode of Soul Sister Conversations, we speak with Amanda Hansen, a personal stylist. She shares how she wants to use her voice to help women feel empowered and to feel confident in expressing themselves without fear of judgment. And she gives us a few tips on how to dress the bodies we have.
Well, are you ready for this one, folks? It's going to be a feisty conversation.
We've already had an interesting pre-conversation.
Right, the pre-conversation.
So let's get into it.
So Amanda Hansen is married to a man she fell in love with twice, and we happen to be in the house that she
fell in love with.
She's a mom of two and always has a healthy stock of gin and bacon in her kitchen. She's my kind of girl.
Yeah, we know we love her already.
She has a slight addiction to red lipstick and small talk is not her vibe. She founded her company, Simply Stylish, in 2017. And as a personal stylist, I got the goosebumps right now, people. Her purpose is to help women cut through the BS and shut down their negative self-talk. Amanda, welcome to Soul Sister
Conversations. Amanda Hansen.
Okay.
We can finally get it started.
Yeah, we can finally get it started. I know when you started your business a couple years ago, I follow you on Instagram, and you were talking, you had a couple of different choices when you thought about taking your entrepreneurial jump, but you chose to be a personal stylist.
Yeah.
This industry. So where does the passion for teaching women about dressing their bodies come from? Why this path?
Oh,
where to begin? Is that too large of a question?
Well, it's interesting. When I first started, it was just, well, women need struggle in their closets. And it was easy for me. Mm-hmm. Not always easy, but it was easier. And so I happened to help somebody, a stranger, in their closet. And I basically developed my first service when I was helping this person. And I was like, this was a lot of fun. And honestly, it never even crossed my mind that you can do this for a living. It wasn't until her, the person I helped, that said, I got so much value from this. You should do this for a living. And I went...
Were you already working at the at this time, like full time?
I was working part time for my husband at the time.
Okay.
And I was looking for an exit strategy because I wasn't happy. And so I spent a year engaging in my passion and teaching others about the things I was passionate about. And I was just kind of dipping my foot in everywhere. And when she said that to me, I was like, oh, okay. And literally I made that decision 2 weeks later, doors started to open and I started to walk through those doors to get me started down this path. And so originally it was just women need this help. It'll make their lives easier. Yeah. It's kind of like some women have a hard time having the big picture when it comes to decorating their house.
Right.
And they don't know colors. They don't know what they should get, where to position it. And that was actually the first path that I was going to go down was home decor. But when this happened, it's kind of the same thing. It's helping women see that big picture so that their wardrobes can work for them. So that's how it started. But as I dive deeper into personal styling, what came up for me was I actually didn't like the word personal stylist. I was really uncomfortable with that word.
What made you uncomfortable?
Because of the association I had with personal stylist. I thought, well, they work in the fashion industry, which I didn't have a connection with. They styled celebrities.
Right.
It was kind of like I saw it as maybe like a vein or... inauthentic, egotistical, kind of wishy-washy. Mm-hmm. And I was more of an academic. So it was like, how do I marry that academic side of my previous career and my brain to this more creative side in an industry that I actually didn't feel connected with? Mm. So it was a hard time trying to find my own voice and my own way of doing it. And so, of course, when you're first starting in an industry, at least for me, I do research. Mm-hmm. My background is in research. So I start researching personal stylists. And so I start following these other stylists and what are they doing to see. And I was like, oh, that's not my thing. Like I went on YouTube and there's videos on how to dress skinny. And that just angered me.
Right.
Because I'm not here to manipulate a woman's body to make her look a certain way. And so I had to kind of dive deep in, like, what is my purpose? And it was right around the time that the Me Too movement mm-hmm. happened. And I'm like, you know, I start questioning why, like, how did this happen? And it's a very complicated, so complex reason why the Me Too, you know, why so many women have been abused and can't speak up about it. It's right. so complex. And I can't even fathom how to, well, I'm sure there's tons of reasons to fix it. But how do I bring my voice into it? And so I saw
through,
it as...
Through this new career choice right, that you were making.
Right. And I'm like, I want women to feel their power more and to know that they do have power. And so how do I encourage them that confidence to connect with who they are in order right. to feel that confidence in themselves? Because I've always been confident. Not always.
You have moments.
Starting your own business yes. is like the biggest way to yeah. chip at that
yeah.
idea that you think that you're confident, because I've never felt more of an imposter at some times.
But you went through some pretty rigorous business programs mm-hmm. that were offered in the city of St. John.
Yeah.
And what was the program that you went through?
Oh God, what was it called? We did it together.
I know. It's the
Venture Validation
thank you.
Program.
The Venture Validation Program. Yeah. But that program, I mean, that wasn't for the faint of heart. Like, they chipped away purposely.
Right. And I told them after I did that program, I'm like, and I have my master's, but I was like, it was like a master's degree in entrepreneurship.
In a very short time. I mean,
in
it
a very
was
short time.
It one was, year?
Was it was it less even than a year? Year.
It was
less
oh,
than
it was
a
13
year.
Weeks, wasn't yeah. it? Yeah, it was a 13-week boot camp.
Yeah, it was like a master's level course on entrepreneurship.
That's interesting to know, because I mean, I don't have a university degree, and obviously I don't have a master's, so I don't know the sort of the level.
That was very high up.
Wow.
And it was interesting. So the course definitely helped, but it didn't help me ask why I do what I do. And I struggled with my messaging and the emotion part. I really struggled with, you know, the emotion part and why I'm doing what I'm doing. Why I was doing what I was doing at that time.
And why did you struggle with that? Was it because you were entering into a space where you were decorating the outsides of people
yeah.
and you were struggling with...
Yeah, with marrying that
marrying
with my values.
Right, right.
And trying to find my way of doing it and really just understand, not even... So it wasn't like I was styling women on the side for years as a hobby, then all,
right.
because all
this,
of a sudden
this is new, this was new
no
out of the
so
blue.
Learning how to start a business and learning how to be a personal stylist at the same time, so that brought on a lot of vulnerability, the imposter
sure.
syndrome, the lacking self-confidence, because I didn't know my value yet, especially starting out. And I how do I communicate that value, because I didn't really 100% know the value. I knew
right.
I was helping, but I didn't know at what level. And it wasn't until like I'm in year two now where I'm hearing like my past clients are like, working with you changed my life. And I'm like,
that's
what?
That's a pretty right. big statement. Mm.
It is. And I'm like, it makes me cry, because that is what I want. I just had no idea that working on their clothes can bring that.
Could have
but
that
it's,
value.
And so what I try and teach women, like, it's really not about the clothes. Mm. It's about doing the work internally. And when you do the work internally, naturally, it'll start expressing itself outwardly.
Yes.
Right. So, and it goes back to the whole women who want to lose weight. And so sometimes women, they want to lose weight because they want to be skinny. They want to look and have the ideal body shape that they think mm-hmm. will make them valuable or worthy. And so,
and happy.
And so, I mean, there's definitely health benefits
right.
yes.
to,
yeah.
to losing weight. And I'm not trying to say like losing weight is bad. What I want women to do is ask the motivation behind wanting to lose weight. Is it to look a certain way? Or is it to feel a certain way? And it's kind of the same thing with clothes. I don't want you to dress so that you aren't judged, that you fit in, that you blend in, that you're on trend. I want women to actually dig down deep and see and question, what is it about your personality that you want to
yes.
express about yourself? Because I see too many women, when they hate themselves, it shows.
Mm-hmm. And how do you see it?
I see it in wearing black. Not that wearing all black is bad. You can definitely have a well-rounded, fun wardrobe, adding texture to an all-black wardrobe. And if that's your power color, awesome.
But black shows no...
Black is, well, it makes me look thinner. Right. And that's the motivation.
And all everybody's wearing it to look thin.
But here's the thing. I did TV for many years, and black does not make you look thinner. And it makes you look like a blob.
It does.
And so when I was on TV, and so I'm short and curvy, mm-hmm. and in order for me to show off those curves in the best way, I had a wardrober for my TV show who everything hugged the curves. Yeah. And there was always a pop of color. And she said, if I ever see you in black on the TV, I'm coming after you. You know, and there was only once in 4 years that she emailed me and said, that was an interesting wardrobe choice. But so I had the benefits of having a personal stylist years ago to really know how to accentuate what I have. Yeah. Like this is the body I've been given.
Yeah.
And so black, dressing in black is one way that people,
and oversized, you know, baggy.
Oversized baggy loose clothing.
Clothes.
Yeah. Hiding your body literally.
Yeah. Or just wearing sweats and leggings.
Right. Yeah. Because it's easy.
It's easy. At that point, they've just given up.
Right.
They ignore it. They don't have time.
So
they
some
don't
people
understand.
Are listening right now, and we're probably pissing them off.
Oh, absolutely. And, yes. And so...
Or making them think.
They're like, what's wrong with my leggings? So I was talking to a woman yesterday, and she's like, I was like, you know, if we work together, what is your goal at the end of the session? And so she said, I want to only wear my workout gear when I actually work out.
Right.
She's like, and she's like, it's because I'm lazy. I'm like, no, you're not lazy.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with laziness. It has to do with our brains and our subconscious want our lives to be easy. And right. So it finds ways to keep us comfortable, to keep us safe, and
we
to
go
keep
the path
it easy.
Of least resistance.
Right. And I get that. Mm-hmm. And so, but when you want change, it takes work and it's getting uncomfortable. And so what's happening in these women, it's generally when they have children or when there's a huge life change.
Yes.
Like that, menopause, when you get that little poofy in the front.
Yeah, their bodies change, their lifestyles change, their work changes. Then all of a sudden they're like, I don't know how to transition this new version of me into my life.
Right.
And so...
A new version of me being the changes in my body.
Body or personality. Like,
I can relate.
Right?
I can
like,
totally relate.
What's important to us and how we want to express ourselves are different.
And it's overwhelming out there. If you go into a mall or any store, mm-hmm. or even worse, a change room, and you're like, oh boy, right? It can be very hard on yourself.
Absolutely. And so...
And so how do you make a choice out of like the bazillion things, right? Enter you.
Well, right. And so for her, I was like, you just need the tools and the knowledge so that it does become easy again to dress something other than your sweats or your workout gear. It's just a choice to go out and grasp that knowledge.
Yes.
And it's not easy. Some people, they don't have the time. It's the last thing that they want to learn about, or they're watching YouTube videos and they're like, they hear all these rules and guidelines and it's like, oh, and I hate rules and guidelines. And that's what I'm trying to help with women understand. You get to set your rules.
Right? So each person has their own individual rule book.
And it's them trying to figure, like my one-on-one clients, I help them figure it out. I also have online students that I coach them with using the tools and strategies to help learn it themselves and discover it themselves. And where was I going with this?
Well, it's overwhelming to make choices and for people to find their own personal style, like sorting through.
With all the noise that's out there.
Yeah. So I believe that, and so my background is psychology, and I believe that our personalities drive a lot in our lives. It drives the decisions we make, maybe going to school or where we work. And sometimes when people are unhappy in the work, it's because they're not actually being true to who they are and they're not working in their zone of genius.
They're out of alignment.
Right. And so like... An example, I've worked with a lot of engineers. I see a lot of personality similarities with engineers and the way their brain works and probably like what part of their brain is the more dominant part. And so with women, I'm trying to connect themselves again with their personality. And then how do you actually express that? Because I feel like they're going to be more in alignment if they understand who they are, how they want to express themselves, but also have a good idea of their lifestyle and how do you marry your personality, your lifestyle, and the current body you have now to create a wardrobe where you're actually wearing like 100% of your clothes instead of only wearing 20% of your wardrobe 80% of the time. Because that's generally, and I do a style assessment, so I've quizzed a lot of, I have the data where I'd say 90% of the women who filled out, I have almost 200 people that have filled out that style assessment. And I'd say 90% only wear 20% of their wardrobe.
It's that 80-20 rule.
I believe that. And so you have this whole thing that this is how you help people. You marry their, you know, the personality with trying to figure out a style, which I think is fantastic because then people can truly express themselves. And you see a difference when you see someone dressed that they feel comfortable in their clothes. There is a power and a confidence. And I say when you have confidence, success follows confidence. And no matter mm-hmm. what that is.
Yeah.
But you start out this conversation saying, I just started down the path of helping women put a couple of outfits together. But it sounded like to me there was this big giant but that came after that. That there's something bigger going on, which you're alluding to.
Yeah.
So what are you trying to change now other than just their wardrobes?
Well, so one of the courses I took was actually a marketing course.
Mm-hmm.
And so she helped me dive down into my why.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually the very first assignment she gave me was to go research pictures, which is actually similar because I get my own students to research pictures for like their vision board. And so right. she was basically getting me to create a vision board for my business.
Bravo.
And what was I attracted to visually? And one of the pictures was a little girl in a superhero costume, and she was doing this. And I was like, that's what I'm doing this for. I want the next generation of young girls to not question their value, to not question their worth, to grow up knowing that their voice always has value, that they are worthy. They don't have to change or manipulate their body to feel worthy or accepted. I want to decrease eating disorders because the diet industry has destroyed women's confidence in their own health.
Mm.
And their own ability to make decisions for themselves based on their own health.
Yep. It's a lot of restriction. And there's now a lot of studies showing that restriction in what we eat is the worst way. It just feeds more disordered eating.
It's the yo-yo. Yeah, I've been there.
It just feeds more disordered eating. And like, so an example of... I don't know. Maybe should I name companies?
I don't think we're big enough to be sued, but I don't know. Maybe not.
There's a diet, a huge diet company out there where they have said we market so that women don't get off of our diet.
Oh.
Like there is no end goal.
Right.
Oh.
Just buy more of your product?
You have to stay on their diet
forever.
Forever.
But that to me, that's not helping people. I mean,
it's helping the business.
Right. When you do your job, Amanda, your job is to work yourself out of a job. Anybody who's doing a good job, like in anything, I think is to give people to help remind them that they have everything they need inside to help them come up with solutions and then move on. But that diet.
Because I see a lot of what you're doing online is you address the inner critic a lot,
mm-hmm.
you know, that negative voice.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously that voice has been influenced by many things because the marketing
their own parents. At least two generations. When you look back, it's interesting. I was watching a Mad Men episode and it was at the very beginning of the diet industry. And there were all these women sitting in a classroom, you know, these very nicely dressed 1950-ish women. And I'm not sure what diet company it was, but they had a board up there and they were saying avocados are bad. You want to eat margarine. And that's when the brain, and it was, this episode really stuck out for me. And I thought that is where they started planting the seed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is the generation. So I have clients who are in their 60s and are struggling. They're struggling because they feel so judged.
Mm.
And they're trying to please everybody else. And they've completely disconnected with who they are and actually what is pleasing to them.
Where's the judgment coming from in that age group?
I would say it probably started to happen when a lot of the fashion magazines came out.
Okay.
When a lot of...
Back in the day.
Is that, I don't even know, is that the right era?
I don't know. You know,
but I know that, you know, these skinny where it's models. Like,
yeah, it was... You need to eat skinny. You need to dress skinny. You have to look perfect.
Because skinny was a style.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Just now, we're you know, big bum, big hips is a style.
Right.
And so right. I mean, now all these women are like, well, I don't have hips. They get implants.
I don't need implants. I got booty.
And like I said before we actually get started, it's like, what if all of a sudden they say belly buttons are ugly?
Oh. Yeah.
And they're like, here's some cream to get rid of your belly button. I
know. Or surgery to get to, rid to of it. To remove the belly button. Yeah. But that's somebody outside telling you, and then everybody's jumping on this bandwagon.
Right. And as humans, we have a need to fit in. Right? Mm. We socially.
Yeah.
For survival. Mm-hmm. For survival.
But that's back to...
That's back. We've evolved.
Yes. Yeah. We know better.
Are we doing better?
Yeah. I guess... Maybe not, we don't. But
well, it's starting. So it is starting. Women are starting to question it more. Yeah. But I have gotten a lot of resistance where when I have pushed on some buttons.
What kind of buttons? Like, or what are you saying that pushes the button?
When I call out companies who are using shame marketing in their messaging for women to buy their products. Yeah.
So like clothing type companies or
beauty industry, anything, diet industry.
Everything.
So I've called out a few of those things, and I've gotten lots of resistance.
Really? From the companies or from people?
From people. Don't get me wrong. I've gotten way more support, and I've had a few people that are like, oh, I didn't see anything wrong with that. But now that you've put it this way.
Can you give an example, or is that the company? You don't have to reveal too much, but is there something that you're talking about, like a body image that's projected?
One of them was like a cellulite cream.
Oh, okay.
Being sold by a man. That women need to buy this cellulite cream.
I didn't even know if we had a thing.
The other one was for hair removal on women's faces. And trying to basically say they look like an animal.
Okay.
And that they should.
And so.
Come see them.
And people didn't think there's anything wrong with that because they think.
Well, it was normal. Okay. It's normal. Well,
I think it's normal because we have seen it for so many years. And now we're into that, third generation or second generation of that type of marketing that we just see it. And subconsciously we're reading it.
Yeah. And I honestly, the version of me 5 years ago, if I would have read that, I probably wouldn't have had an issue with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now
you change. You're questioning yourself.
I've learned so much. And where it triggered for me around the whole body thing was, so I have a large birthmark. It's like probably like this big, probably bigger than a toonie.
So you're bigger than a toonie.
It's dark brown and it's like right by my... crunch.
Yeah. Right in your bikini line?
Yeah, but down more.
Okay.
And my mom has never, ever once, like, I have a very good role model in my mom. She's never tried to hide her body or shame her body. But at a very young age, I was ashamed of it. Mm. And I can remember as like, even like 3 or 4 years old, I wanted to always hide it. So if I wore a bathing suit, I always had to wear a long t-shirt or shorts, or I'd walk around like this,
covering it.
So there's so much shame and it stuck with me. And I remember as a young kid, remember thinking, as soon as I become an adult, I'm going to pay to get that removed. Because I was scared I was going to look different. People are going to notice. I was scared they thought I pooped myself, because it was dark brown. And so I think there's an innate part in us where, because I was such a young age, I don't think I was socialized to think those things. I think socially we want to fit in. It's that instinct in us.
And all it takes is one comment.
Right. And I don't.
From anybody.
And I don't remember if anybody ever commented on it because I wanted to hide it.
But even somebody looking.
Right.
Right. So, I mean, if you're an observant person and people look and you think, oh gosh, they're judging me. Mm-hmm. But I'm making up a story at that point.
Absolutely.
I don't know if they're judging me or if they just happen to look in my direction.
And I remember with my boyfriends, I would warn them, just so you know, if I take my pants off.
There's a brown spot.
There's a black mark there.
But isn't that awful that you have to warn them?
You're giving them a heads up. But you're thinking that it's...
Anyway, so this stuck with me for years. And it wasn't until I started questioning some of the things I questioned about women and their bodies and their beliefs around beauty and women just constantly feeling freaking shame and that they're never good enough exactly the way they are. And I'm like, okay, this is my version of it. Mm-hmm. And so what do I need to do to overcome it? So I honestly, it's always the questioning why. Why do I feel like I have to hide it? And then it's the other knowing I have a choice. I can either think negatively about my body, or I can be neutral, or I can think positively about my body. So I chose to go more neutral. I don't love my birthmark. but I feel absolutely nothing about it anymore. Mm. And so I've done lots of work internally and externally. When I mean externally, it means I'm very careful of the messaging I surround myself with in social media. So if I see
what you're seeing,
what I'm seeing, what am I being exposed to? And so I just stopped hiding it because I was like, I'm putting so much negative energy into, instead of, you know, usually it was when I was wearing a bathing suit. So instead of being excited to go to the beach or go to a friend's pool, I was like, how can I hide my body? Right. And I didn't want that energy.
And that held you back from doing, having experiences.
Yeah. And so I chose, I don't want that anymore. Yes. And so I made the conscious choice to think and feel differently about it. And so it took a while.
I was going to say, how long did that take you once you started making that decision? Because that's a process. I would say
like even last summer, I started to show it, but I still felt
it. Mm-hmm.
This summer, I can show it and I don't feel anything anymore. So it's been about 2 years.
I remember you had an Instagram post. You were going away and you had your bathing suit and you were in the in the waves.
Yeah.
And so I'm just looking at that going, wow, look, she's got a bathing suit. But there was more to that whole thing than the bathing suit. There was the birthmark. But I didn't even read that into that, Amanda.
Right. It was me not caring and not hiding. And actually, the bikini bottom I was wearing was a string bikini. And there's no way I would have worn that in my 20s. I would have been too self-conscious, but now I was like, I was almost 40 and I'm like, this is my body. Like, I don't give a crap. Nobody cares.
Right.
The only person that should care is me.
Yeah. And to Elaine's point, when you see that photo, if you hadn't pointed out, we would just been in the feed and would not have thought anything of it. Oh, look,
Amanda's at the beach. How awesome. I love the beach. And then in my, it's like, wow, I would have loved to have been playing in the waves with her. And off I go, right? So I didn't know any of that story. And so how often are women living with that story, Amanda, like when you talk to them?
So I'm doing a free course right now called Find Your Style. And so in the course, like the very first video training that they're doing is there's 10 habits that I have come up with that women have who have effortless and fun style. And so I'm asking them, what one are you going to work on and what is holding you back from feeling confident in your clothes? And I would say the high majority of them is that they're hiding their body. Right. They feel shame about their body. So they're just giving up, hiding it, wearing oversized clothes, wearing sweats, wearing anything just to hide, and comfort is their number one thing. And so I said to them, I'm like, you can still feel comfortable and feel good. You don't have to change.
It's not a choice.
Like, let's just all assume all women want to be comfortable in their clothes.
So that's the number one thing. Okay, so now we're all comfortable. Because if your clothes don't fit well, or if it doesn't fit your personality, you're not going to be comfortable. It doesn't matter how loose it is.
So those women, a lot of them, their biggest struggle is accepting the body they have now. Some of them feel like if they actually invest in clothes that will fit the body they have now, that they've given up.
Okay.
Oh, I mean, given up, is this, they've given up on being skinny? Is
pretty much, or they're having their pre-baby body, or that...
Pre-baby body, my baby's like 19. So I, like, you know, I had to say, you know what, like, this is the body I have now. After having three beautiful children.
And I've been all kind, like, I've always had a fairly thin body. That's just the way my body structure is, my metabolism. But I have been up to like a size 12, you know, after having my son and my daughter, and I had them 11 years apart. So my body has always been all over the place. And so I was, I never once ever thought, like, I don't deserve to go buy clothes that will fit it. I don't know why I never had that thought. And I was, it's more because I just, I never want to have shitty thoughts about myself. Sorry. Am I allowed to swear? I don't want to think about myself badly.
And where did you get that from? Because I feel like there's often a little bit more of that, like people will rely on their inner critic.
And it doesn't mean I don't have an inner critic.
But that's pretty good. That's a very conscious choice. Is it your psychology background? Maybe you've always had an interest in it that you didn't want to speak badly about yourself.
So when I was really young, like in elementary school, I was shy and I was quiet. And I tended to be attracted to friends that were more dominant. And they sensed my weakness and they walked all over me. Right. And I let them. And then I got to move from that city to a brand new city when I was 11 years old. And all of a sudden I was like, I'm making a different choice.
Well, you and are a very aware 11-year-old.
Brave.
Right. So I've always, really? I'm very self-aware. And
self-reflective, I'm
very
obviously.
Analytical and always about myself. And I remember thinking, like, I don't want to feel like that anymore. And I almost went, like,
extreme. Became the bully?
I didn't become a bully, but I was like, don't mess with me. Like, a little too assertive,
you just became,
too
but
aggressive.
You were trying out the other side of the
yeah,
spectrum.
Like I would never bully anybody no. else. I probably maybe have done and said some shitty things when I was young and
but
didn't
you just
realize
made
the consequences of what I was yeah. doing. But
you made a shift, a purposeful shift.
I made a shift and I really like screw men. I don't need a man. I can take you on. I used to try and beat up my boyfriend, like not boyfriends, but my friends who were boys. Like not in like,
yes,
not
yes.
like I'm going to hurt you, but I was like, I'm going to wrestle you.
But
I'm
in a rough and tumble.
Dominate you.
Right.
So I kind of went to like that strong feminist side, like not having kids until I'm older. I'm going to have my career. Like I literally wanted to run the world. Like right. I wanted to have like this big business and just dominate the
Kill
world.
It. Yeah.
My life did not turn out that way.
But you made, but you did that self-reflective
yeah.
piece. And so because you seem to have a handle on managing your thoughts or being mm-hmm. more conscious about that, how then do you help other women overcome that? Because you're so aware of it. Like how do you inspire and empower people to be confident in their clothes now?
Honestly.
Because obviously it's a mental game first.
Well, right. And that's what I've recognized.
Yeah.
Is
that's
that,
a huge, that's a
it's
huge
all a mental
yeah,
game.
It's all a mental game. Whether you want to be healthy physically,
yeah.
you need to be healthy mentally first. Like that shift has to happen. You needs to be for,
it's an inside job.
It is an inside job and you have to do it for like the, I don't want to say right reasons, but I would say trying to fit in and conform and be skinny is not a right reason.
Right.
Like that's coming out of a place of shame.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
And so I want women to make changes coming from a place of self-love.
Like what it is that they want and go after
yeah.
that and dress to reflect
yeah.
how they're feeling.
How they're feeling.
And their authenticity. Because
mm-hmm.
you can tell when a woman, you know, or anybody, man mm-hmm. or woman, and they are dressing to their authentic self.
It's about like energy.
They do. They vibrate. They sparkle.
Yeah. Yes. Because I'm thinking that if you take someone who is struggling to see themselves in a certain way and you dress them a certain way, that will not keep up because they are just not feeling it. It's almost like their thoughts or their clothes have to catch up with their thoughts.
Absolutely.
Right? Like you've seen the stories on Oprah that people that have lost like hundreds of pounds and they still don't feel quite themselves because they're not used to being observed from the world
mm-hmm.
As a skinnier person. So speak a little bit to body image. Like what's the difference when we say body image, what is that? Is that how we feel
yeah.
about and how we see ourselves?
Yeah, it's body image is I think you can either have a healthy body image or a not healthy body image. And so like to me, a healthy one is realizing that a body is just a body. It doesn't actually have any effect on who you are as a human being.
Mm-hmm. Like, but it is the vessel we travel in.
It is.
So we show up and people respond to you.
But there's people out there who can't walk.
Right.
Who
yes.
can't see. Who are
yes.
missing arms. They have burns on their
mm-hmm.
face. But that does not get to determine how good of a human
no,
being
absolutely
they are.
Not.
And
yeah.
so it's being able to separate that, yes, our body is a tool, it's a vehicle, we want to take care of it as best as we can,
yes.
but there's...
And that's our responsibility as the I guess the owner of this beautiful vessel we call our body.
Mm-hmm. But I think that also puts some pressure on women.
Oh,
to
I think it's a lot
to
of
take
pressure.
Care
to
of
take
the,
care of it, and right. there's some things that are just under the control. Hormones,
oh, yes,
genetics,
yes.
and so bone structure. Like there's certain bone structures out there that it doesn't matter how much you diet, it's not going to make you have a small waist.
Right.
That's
yeah.
because your ribs are a little bit further apart, your hips
yes.
are narrow, and it's just your skeletal structure.
Right.
And so it's just how do you separate how you look and how much worth do you give how
yeah.
you look on how happy
right.
you are. Now I you know, and that's where I struggle with because I help women with their clothes.
Right.
So it's like, how do I
how do you join those
how
two
do
things?
I join those
because
two.
Your worth is separate from
right
from you know how you're showing
mm-hmm.
up. Like that doesn't make you a good or a bad person. That
yeah.
you are a worthy person just because you are.
So it's for
so
me,
how do you get people to enjoy this so that it's always a discussion of should I dress you know in a certain way or what's wrong with my leggings and hoodie?
So how I kind of see it is okay. So say you struggle with math, and your parents are like okay. They're struggling in math. We can either do nothing or we can get them a tutor. and teach them the tools. And then they can choose to use those tools or not. So I kind of see it as that way. It's like, because somebody sent me a message today and my Style Insider Academy is open today. Its registration is open. So she asked me, she's like, should I, like, I'm a busy mom. You know, she started her own business, but she's like, I'm covered in toothpaste and all of that. And she's like, should I join it now? Like, is this a season in my life that I should work on my clothes and how I represent myself? And so I basically said, like, I can't answer that for you, but I can give you some prompting questions. Mm. How do you currently feel? If you feel like what you're wearing is working for you,
right.
It's working for your lifestyle, you feel good, then that's all that matters. That's you don't need to change a darn thing.
That's a good way to look at it, right?
Inside, right? That's how that person is feeling inside.
Yeah. So I was like, but if you're struggling with reconnecting with who you are, putting time aside for yourself, expressing who you are in your clothes, then there's never a bad time to do it.
Right.
So that's how I put it to her. And I was like, it's up
and
to you.
And that seems like a great distinction because I think if again, with all the messaging and if people feel like there's nothing wrong and they're fine as they are and they're not struggling with expressing themselves or changing how they look, then there is no issue.
Yeah.
There's no issue there's to no go issue. Down
but if there is that nay, little, if that little voice, right, in your inner critic and all those things, then this is an opportunity.
And so so what I'm trying to do is make sure that my messaging and how I teach them is in a positive way, not through shame or trying to put any more pressure on women. They have to look a certain way.
Than they already
way.
Have.
Right. Mm. And so like an example, I've had a client where, so she had her baby, her body has changed and how she used to dress. She no longer felt comfortable dressing that way. In the body she has now. So we did a lot of work on her body image and me teaching her that you need to show your stomach. like when you are dressing to hide it, you are making yourself visually look heavier than you are. Not that looking heavier is a bad thing, but what she's not wanting is what she was creating. Right? And so she is now wearing shirts that are more form-fitting because it works for her personality and her style and for her body shape.
Right.
And so I often get messages from her like, wow, I've never felt more confident and I haven't lost weight.
Mm. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. So she's like, I've had that from several women. They're like, I didn't have to lose weight to feel more confident in my body. I just needed to know how to assess the proper fit of clothes for my shape without having to manipulate anything. And most of the time it's showing your body, it's not just hiding it.
It's the opposite. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. And how powerful is that, that you get to be a facilitator in that?
Yeah.
I'm just curious, what are some other changes that you see with, you know, without being, you know, giving away people's personal stuff, but, you know, sort of generalizations of things that, that people, when they're actually starting to change, that they're going, oh my God, I feel better. Or I've never saw myself this way before.
I have a woman, she's in Ontario. I think she was like in a depression, not in a depression, but she was like in this state in her life where she took the backseat to everything and her house, her kids, her husband. And so when we start working together, she started to dance more in her kitchen.
Oh.
Her husband, she said to me, she's like, he used to always just randomly say, I love you. And he stopped doing that. She's like, it's not like he stopped loving her. He just stopped saying it. And she's like, he's starting to say it again. And I think it's not because she looks a certain way. It's because her energy has changed.
Right.
She is more in tune with who she is. And her kids, she said that her kids saw her being happy. And they're like, why are you so happy? Is it because of your stylist? You're like the fairy godmother. I died. She's like, yep. Yeah, it is. And so she sent me a message and she said, like, I never thought I could look and feel this way again about my body. Mm. I've also had some women who struggle with their body, and I've shown them pictures of other women who have similar body shapes dressing for them and not dressing to hide their body. And they're like, I will be okay with my size if I can look like that.
Mm.
And it had nothing to do with losing weight.
Yes,
it had to do with having the confidence to not hide your body.
That's amazing. Because yes. I think that's interesting. Another interesting point is that your energy is different. It's not the clothes that's making you more sexy, confident, whatever. It's your energy.
It's the energy.
Because you're seeing yourself differently. Or it's amazing how you feel. And you act a certain way according to how you feel.
Yeah. So when I have to give like a presentation, and I don't mind public speaking, but I think for most people, unless it's like your zone of genius, people get nervous. Mm-hmm. And so the last time I had to do a public speaking, I'm like, I need my power pants on. So I got my red,
what color are those?
The red, awesome, high-waisted paper bag. They're like in your face style-wise and color-wise. And all of us, like automatically, like it was a switch. I'm like, I got this. I can do this. And it automatically changed the energy and it boosted my confidence so that I could show up and give the best presentation that I could.
And clothes, I have that clothes has the same effect on me because I do public speaking. Mm-hmm. And if I feel like I'm not fitting right in my clothes, and that just might be if something's too tight or twisty and you can't move the way you want, I think I would just rather show up in jeans and a t-shirt and a pair of sneakers because you can move.
It's almost like if you felt your underwear every day.
Yes.
How crappy would that be?
It's your wardrobe. Like, it's like you're putting on a specific wardrobe that just from doing the work that I've done, it is this is how I'm presenting myself this way. Now I have a question, Amanda. So I'm somebody who is petite in the shoulders, right? So, and curvy, short body. And for me to go into a store and buy off the rack, it doesn't happen. So everything I have is either too big here, too small there. So how do you help women get into that who can't buy off the rack? Like, what are some suggestions?
Well, so the first thing I want to address is that I think that women have this, this perceived notion that most women can buy off the rack. That's not true.
Okay.
So I've worked with tons of women who are 6 feet tall, who are 4 foot three, who are plus size, who aren't plus size. Most of them have to get their clothes altered. But I think what happens is women are going in expecting
to find something that fits. I walk into stores and I leave. I have to say, I really dislike shopping. Mm-hmm. I dislike shopping for clothing. Mm-hmm. I found that I go to Value Village, and because it's 100 stores in one place, I have a better chance and more variety of finding something in that store to fit me than anywhere in the mall.
Yeah. So what I try and let women know is that this is a normal part.
But I think most women wouldn't, they would be I come in here, I don't like this store, nothing fits me.
Yeah. And
you're thinking that something's wrong with
you. Because I'm thinking the messaging then is I don't fit.
And there's something wrong with
me. So I teach women their body is not a problem. The clothes
they should have a sign at every store. Yeah. You will have to alter all
everything.
Of these, no matter what size or shape that you are.
And so what I teach women is that is a part of dressing themselves. So make sure that you like it, that it's going to be functional for your wardrobe. And so when I say functional, my lesson is, or my kind of rule guideline is, you should be able to style at least three ways in your wardrobe to make it versatile. Because those one pieces that only go with one thing, you never wear it.
Right.
And so make sure it's versatile. Make sure it actually is part of your personality and it is something you would wear. Dress the largest part of you. So women, it tends to either be their breasts, shoulders, or waist.
So what do you mean dress the largest part of you?
So give an example, like button-up tops.
Yes.
So women who have large breasts, there's usually puckering.
Right.
They always have a little poof in the middle.
Right.
Yes.
So you need to make sure you have to size up your top.
Okay.
So that it's not puckering there.
So by
but
the
then
sign,
what ends up happening is it's bigger usually in the waist.
Then
or
I get
in the
these
shoulders.
Huge shoulders.
So then you get those parts
you
altered.
Get those parts
so fit
altered.
The largest part and then alter the other pieces.
Yeah.
It's not, I mean, I've seen my wardrober and she tucks up the shoulders and pulls that in. So your shoulder lands here and then she'll put darts in the back of a blouse so that everything fits. And what an amazing feeling it was those years that I was being wardrobed.
Yeah. So women need to know that if I know that I need to get, you know, my body is not what, unfortunately, the fashion industry is providing a lot of clothes for, that is part of the process and you need to take that in consideration when you're buying a piece. Mm. What's the quality like? And is it worth investing a little bit more to get it altered?
Right.
And yes. So just
add, yeah, because that's the other thing is the cost of alteration when you yeah. buy a piece. Because so, I know I would never think that. I think, oh, if it doesn't fit, I'll just obviously that piece isn't meant for me.
But if I'd you really like it, like I've found yeah. stuff that I like blouses I really like. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I have an option. But before I did that work, I would have never known that, Amanda. Yeah. Like that's not common knowledge.
No, it's not. Well, you know what? It's funny when I bring it to women's attention, they're like, huh.
I never thought of that before.
But back in the day when our mothers made their own clothes, yeah. right? Simplicity patterns, yeah. everybody's clothes fit perfectly yeah. because it was made for them.
Yeah.
And now based we have an industry that is making clothes for I'm not sure who.
Well, they're, yeah, well, they're a lot of them, like fast fashion, they're making it to be very consumable so that you're only wearing it a few times and then you're getting rid of it.
That's true.
So you can keep, like, when you see the clearance racks at, like, H&M or Forever 21, like the clearance racks, like the $5 things, it's like so much, and you know where those clothes are going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're either going in somebody's closet, which will eventually land yeah. in a landfill, yes. or it's going directly
and
into
not
the
even
landfill.
Well made.
No.
Right? Everything, you know, a couple washes and it's pilly or stretched.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm not trying like I have things in my clothes that are fast fashion.
Oh yes, yeah.
So what I try mm-hmm. and do is if I do happen to shop fast fashion, I make sure it's something that I'm going to wear the heck out of.
Yeah.
And it's going to be something in my closet a lot so that it's yeah. not, again, just tossed. Yeah. So one of the biggest ways to have a more sustainable, fashion industry is just to wear what you have more.
More.
But the thing is, women aren't making the right choices of what they actually want right. to wear more. So that's where I come in.
Right.
Helping them have a plan. They have a wardrobe plan. They have a color plan. They have a shopping list. So it's like when you go grocery shopping, I mean, yeah, there's some women, you know, after a certain amount of years, you don't need a shopping list. You can usually...
You just know.
But generally, if you have no idea how to cook or grocery shop, you look up at recipes. See what you need. You go check to see, okay, what do I have? What am I missing? Add those items to the shopping list, like the grocery list. So it's the same thing with yes. their closet. What are they missing so that they can wear more of what's in their closet?
So they can pair it up like a capsule wardrobe.
Yeah.
Did we not talk about capsule wardrobes years ago?
And you've always said to me, you're like, I want minimal capsule. I want like yes. a uniform.
Yes.
So you don't have to think about a thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And I am still longing for that, Amanda. So I think you and I are going to have some interactions in the future, because I really, as we move into mm-hmm. our right-sizing life and mm-hmm. this minimalism, like I do, I want to be in and out of the closet. I want to put it on and look, mm-hmm. have that. And now that I'm not coloring my hair, I feel like I need to have a little more punch of color in my wardrobe. Mm-hmm. And so things have shifted for me.
Mm. So what's interesting about you is I know based on how you look and knowing about your personality and who you are a creative style personality.
Yes.
And so my creatives tend to feel like they have multiple personalities in their wardrobes. Because
the yes. Jekyll and Hyde laugh.
Well, because it's what they yep. wear is really deeply connected with who they are and how they express themselves. And so they could go from like edgy rocker look to like bold, you know, 20 style. Like it's a gambit. So I did a workshop where I got everybody to take a style personality quiz that I developed. And so I got them to separate based on their style personality. And so every group, all the women were like similar height, similar bone structure. And they all, I got them to do an activity mm-hmm. and all of them worked really well together, except the creatives.
They couldn't complete.
We're the outliers.
They couldn't complete it because none of them could agree on the activity because their personalities
all over the place.
are so different. And it's so, they're like, nope, that, nope. And the other one's like, yep, nope. Like it was so
I had to adapt. So are you telling me I'm never going to have a capsule wardrobe?
No, I'm just saying you can, but it is going to be a little bit harder for you versus yes. other style person.
Because I look in my closet, and it was funny because the wardrobe that came years ago, she goes, okay. She opened my closet. She goes, that is not what I expected at all. And so back then I wasn't dressing for me. Mm-hmm. I was wearing a lot of black mm-hmm. and I was not dressing as Elaine. Yeah. And now it's like when you open it up and I'm like, oh, it looks like the crayon box vomited in the closet. Cause sometimes I have black days where yeah. I'm like, yeah, I feel a little poofy today and I just want to wear black. And then there's other days like today where, you know, I've got a lot of color on.
Yeah, so you're going to need like a strict wardrobe plan, color plan.
Damn. Damn, so I'm not like the cookie cutter.
And I also think, like, I guess it depends. It's really
depends. It's to the person.
It is to the person, and you might have a little bit of a larger capsule than maybe somebody else. Or you have seasonal pieces that come in to bring. Like, so where you would keep, for you, I would probably make sure you have your basics and then decide what are your hero pieces that you want to bring in to show your personality.
Say hero pieces?
Hero pieces. Just a second. Dana, hero pieces.
So like for me, my hero pieces are my leopard prints and my reds. So I
what defines a hero piece? So for people listening going trying to wonder what's in their closet, that's their
hero
piece.
So I think not all, especially my creatives, some of them do not have basics and neutrals. They will never have a black blazer. They will never have a white t-shirt.
Yeah. I do have a white t-shirt, but no black blazer.
Right? So some of them will never have some of those neutrals and basics. Ah. But for the most part, you need to have some like neutrals and basics in your wardrobe so that it can be maximized. Because neutrals, they're fairly easy to go together.
I know.
Right?
I have like 300 Pinterest boards with neutrals, and then I go through them and I go, I don't have any of that. It's really hard for me. Okay, now I know why.
Yeah. And so... So for me today, like I'm wearing just like a light pink.
It is. It's just a blouse. Like blush, yes.
And, you know, my jeans that I love.
So is this red jacket a hero piece?
It's my hero piece. So I keep it fairly basic and neutral. Like my blouse has clean lines because that's what I like in my tops because that makes it easier. Like my favorite, my hero pieces are my blazers. That is where I feel blazers make me feel a certain way like nothing else does.
Me too.
And so that's
structure.
Like, my masculine side of my personality is my dominant. It's dominant over my feminine. Yours would be feminine.
Yeah, because we went out and I bought a blazer and I was trying all these blazers on. My husband's going, nope. And then I got this leather, I don't know, beige. And it's got like the side zipper over here and it flops over. And I'm like, that's it.
Yeah, you generally will not like structure.
No.
You like more flowing, feminine, soft things.
Yes.
It makes me feel... powerful, strong,
yes.
Bold, confident. And so all my blazers, I do have some neutral blazers, but I have like leopard, I have red, I have stripes, I have like, that's
so
where I like to bring my fun. It's where I choose to show my personality.
Right.
Because, so like, let's talk about Marie Kondo for a sec. So...
Marie Kondo is an organizer on Netflix, is it?
Yes.
She has a book.
Yeah. What's the art of tidying up Sparking and getting
joy.
Rid of all your crap at Spark Joy?
Yeah. Let's talk about the Spark Joy thing.
Yeah.
Okay. I think great concept. I think she had a lot to teach. It brought in a lot of value. But like this pink blouse does not bring me joy by itself.
Mm-hmm.
But when I put it with my red blazer,
look out.
It brings me joy. So it's having purpose with your items and being more purposeful. So my clothes earn a place in my closet.
Right. Oh, tell us about that.
So I've often bought things just because it was on sale. And it's like, it fits.
Yeah. How many times have we dragged something
nice home? Color.
Drag it home?
It's $10. I'm going to buy it.
You think I'm not
It's only
much.
$10. I'm going to get it.
Yeah. But I bring it in
I
and it's like, it. Oh, it's got ruffles on it. And... oh, none of my other shirts have ruffles. I don't really like ruffles, so I'm not wearing it. Or it's a color that is not in my color plan, so I have nothing else to go with it, so it's being unworn.
Yes.
And so now what I do for my clients is, you know, and some women reach out to me. They're like, Amanda, I've done a purge. You don't need to come in my closet. I'm good. And I'm like, no. Women are just blindly buying and purging without any thought. They're just looking for the end result, an outfit or something to bring them happiness without doing all of the tools and knowledge ahead of time. So I'm trying to teach women all of those basics
before head to the mall.
They're like,
and spend their valuable money.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Whether it's $5 or $100.
Doesn't matter.
It's still money.
All that adds up.
It
How many
does.
Times you've thrown something out that you've never
and
worn.
It probably would equal this one piece that you would pay full price and absolutely wear the heck
yes.
out of.
Oh, I was in Hudson's Bay. It was a Hudson's Bay. It still exists. It was not only a couple of years ago. Whatever
it does
they still
exist online.
The bay.
In Toronto.
The bay?
It does
Maybe
exist
the bay.
Online.
But my husband and I were up for a trip and I saw this jacket that I love. It seemed like I loved it. And it's a straight, very straight, a long jacket, you know, hit about thigh, not quite mid thigh. And I'm looking at it going, I think I already did this in the 90s. But I'm smaller up top and larger on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So I typically do not get very straight jackets that would go beyond my butt because right. they just don't fit right.
Right.
But somehow I convinced myself to spend $90 on this jacket. And even the way it buttoned on the side, it had to button tight. So, of course, now it's over the largest part of me. Mm-hmm. And now it's, when I get it home, there's all this
buckling.
There's all this fabric in the back, mm-hmm. on the my lower back. And then guess what? Did I ever wear it in public? Not one time.
Oh, Dana.
And off to Value Village it went.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, but so it, these things, when you're in the store, you convince yourself you like it. And I think, well, yeah, if you have more tools or mm-hmm. more ideas about how you should dress your body,
yeah.
what do you want to express? It would be super helpful.
Right. And so when I get rid of something, I spend time analyzing, why am I getting rid of it? Is it the color?
Oh, yeah. Instead of just arbitrarily throwing it in
yeah.
the direction.
I want to know
you're
why.
Doing an exit interview.
I am with my clothes. I don't just kiss it and thank it and toss it.
I'm usually mad at it and I'm like, throw it out of
but
my
But I
closet.
Love this. An exit interview. Good one, Dana.
It is. I want to know why so that I've learned something from it and that I make better choices in the future.
Well,
so
you make better choices. I'm like, I don't want to think about it.
Because
you're
because it's the money thing.
Yes.
It's time. And I do. I get angry. I get angry that I've spent money and time on these pieces. And I am more aware now. I do want to have, like, I want to have a good footprint on the earth.
And just constantly buying. Thank you, because clothing, and that's a whole other conversation.
It's a highly consumable thing.
Clothing is, right.
Yes.
Yeah, not good.
And so it's like, I don't want to be constantly buying all the time and getting rid of
stuff
all
the time. It's time consuming.
It is. And it's just not what I want to do. I want to, like, wear more of my wardrobe. That's more of my goal.
Open the closet and it sparkles.
Yeah.
Right. And you can just grab anything.
Right.
And it works.
Yeah. Like I was saying to somebody the other day, I'm like, I could probably wear a different outfit for every day of the year. Maybe I should do that challenge.
Oh my gosh. You mean in your
just
closet
from
right
what
now?
You have.
Yeah. So I don't have to wear.
By mixing and matching.
I will wear a piece twice.
Right.
Yes. But it will be in a different
way.
Outfit.
That is fun.
So like in my Style Insider Academy, one of my modules is on creating mini capsules in the wardrobe. So because like creating a capsule wardrobe, which is a minimal wardrobe, it's not for everybody.
Mm.
It's not for everybody. But how to create mini capsules in your wardrobe. So that's where it's coming into. You're not wearing the same five outfits all of the time. It forces you to think outside the box. So what I try and teach is grab 10 pieces and try and create as many different outfits as you
that's
can from those
challenge.
10 pieces. So I did one on work and I had 10 pieces and I created 24 outfits. I did a casual one. It was 10 pieces and I created 18 outfits. And
so with this
using
like
accessories and shoes to change it up, but I still wore I think I had a pair of pants. I wore them 5 times, but it was a completely different outfit.
Well, if you wore that red jacket and those jeans and just changed up your top underneath, would that consider a different outfit? Or do you have to have
out? No, you could change your
scarf.
Or
a scarf.
I would change. Like, for me to, I like variety and I like spontaneity and I like novelty. So I need lots of change. And how I used to get it was just buying all the time.
Right.
I don't want that anymore. So it's making sure I have the right pieces so I can have that variety and novelty.
But that's a great point. And I mean, in a world where people are really trying to simplify, it's a good point to have that you can have this many things and create
it's
more from less.
Honestly, the biggest tool that I give my clients is assessing their gaps. Knowing what they're missing to create more. That's like a big, huge thing
getting
for
them.
Getting
more out of what they have.
Getting more of what they have. And what, like, so a lot of them, they struggle with shoes. They don't know how to incorporate certain shoes for their outfits. Because they're like, I put together an outfit, then I've got like my casual boots over there.
And all of a sudden came from the barn.
Right.
That's
so
true. This is a thing. Right? There's a lot to fashion. Because I know for myself, I think it's taken me a good decade or more to develop your style. And it was just what you had talked about earlier. There was just a point in time where I decided I really want to step into being the best I can be. And that even clothing was going to play a part in that.
Yeah.
And probably because I never had a lot of money to spend on clothes in my 20s, I would be the person who, I really love that. Oh, it's not my size. I'll get it one up. You know, and then it looks like I'm swimming in it. Right. So
you
it
look
takes
it looks frumpy, as my mother would say.
Yeah. But it takes a long time to define that. And you have to be consciously being aware
of it.
And
it doesn't happen overnight.
Oh, gosh.
It's not
no.
a quick fix.
No.
I help women get started and give them the tools so that they can continue to explore.
So how can they get started? You mentioned the personality style. Is it something on your website they can go and take for free? Or is
the quiz?
Quiz?
So the quiz I have right now, it's inside my free course that I'm doing. But that's closed. Like, I'm not accepting because it's closing soon. It's inside my Style Insider Academy, okay. But I think I might...
Is that still open?
Your Style Insider? So my Style Insider Academy is like, it's an online membership.
Right.
So you pay like a small monthly fee to get access to my core content. I have 5 style stages in there. And then I also give them monthly up levels.
And then people can hire you separately to do one-on-one coaching as well and go, hey, I want to get a new wardrobe.
Yeah.
Because I've seen you out, you're shopping and I'm like, oh my gosh, she shops for a living.
Yes. Yeah. So like my academy is more for those who want to go a little bit more slow paced and it's more of a do it yourself.
Right. So they're learning about style and
then
their
body. Have to implement it themselves. So right. I give them the tools, but they have to.
They're doing, so it's a how-to.
It's mostly, yeah, a how-to where my one-on-one is more.
Very specific.
I'm tailoring it all specifically.
But you're doing one-on-ones in person and virtually,
yes.
Aren't you?
Yeah,
yes. Which is amazing.
Which is great that you
can
do it
and
virtually.
I would say I'm like half and half. And depending, like the summer, most of my clients were actually virtual. Mm. But now that fall's coming, I'm getting more of my local clients now.
Yeah.
A lot of my virtual clients are in the U.S.
Wow. That's good. So, and how are you being found?
Instagram.
Yeah, you're doing a lot on Instagram.
Instagram probably was the biggest game changer because when I want to shift from local to global.
Yes.
Instagram was the way. I've had a few clients find me through Google.
Like good. A Google search?
A Google good search. No, it's not my website. It was an article written about me that pops up. And that has good SEO.
Yeah, really.
And then they find my link through there. So... Yeah, I need to hire somebody to help you with the SEO.
Well, I think you're doing pretty well. So tell me, how is what you're doing now? You started out as this fashion, you know, helping people with fashion, and you see it's much bigger than that. How is what you're doing helping women contributing to your overall fulfillment or your fulfilling your soul's desire?
Mine or theirs?
Yes, yours. How is this impacting you?
So I've learned about myself. I have to help people. I have to.
Mm-hmm.
And in my previous career, that's what I did. I did it for 15 years. And so something in me was always being fed by that. And then when I decided I got burnt out from my previous career. I decided I want something different and I started to work for my husband. Now, I was helping my husband, but it wasn't feeding me.
Right.
I wasn't having an impact, a positive impact on other people's lives. And I didn't realize that I needed that until it was missing.
So
I went looking for it.
So you had a gap in your own life.
So what actually took its place was the Buy Nothing Project that I started in my community. I didn't start the project.
Oh,
I just brought it.
I remember that. Yes.
Yeah,
wow.
So I didn't start the project. Yes. I just brought it to the community because it is a global project. And so it's a hyper local gifting economy where people give each other gifts, whether it's time, service.
Is it still around?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, because I haven't done anything in a while, but I loved it. I gave and got, and it was fabulous.
And so it really spread throughout New Brunswick. And so that's how I first developed my service was I gave a gift of my time and service. And helping a woman in her closet.
Okay.
And so I, looking back, I was connecting the dots like, oh, I wasn't helping anybody in the job I was at. So look at me. I went looking for it. I was bringing people to my homes and teaching them how to cook. I was teaching them how to refinish furniture.
So you were just kind of throwing everything at the wall.
I was going into women's houses and helping them pick paint colors. Like,
so there was something there that you were trying to figure out what, how shall I serve?
Yeah. And so then this came about. And so when I can have a positive effect on a woman's life and make her feel more confident with who she is. She is a better person to herself. Mm-hmm. She's a better person and role model to her kids, to her family. She shows up more for herself in her life. And I think as a society, women who know their power and stand up more in a more of a patriarchal society, but I don't want to get into the feminism.
Amen, right, sister.
That's my contribution.
Yes. Yeah. Well, just women standing in their own power and understanding the value of it.
Yeah.
Really, like, you look out.
Yeah.
When a woman taps into her power,
use their voice.
But you are part of that solution.
That's
Amanda.
What I'm hoping.
Yes. You are. Yeah. You are already part of the solution.
What have you learned from being an entrepreneur?
That's a whole other
Oh, do we got an hour?
I'm still learning.
What has surprised you or what have you liked?
Oh.
Because it looked like that really impacted you.
Yeah, because I'm actually struggling right now.
With that side of your
Not
business?
Not just that. I'm struggling with many aspects. And so I guess I thought I really knew who I was.
Oh, really? And so what is it teaching you?
And because I'm a very self-analytical, mm-hmm. self-reflective person, and I still feel like I have a good sense of who I am, I just didn't realize I could possibly change more than I have. Like
you're still taking back the layers.
Beliefs have changed. Behavior has changed. And what's interesting is when you change to see all of those that are no longer in your life because of it.
Mm. You begin to shift. And
there is a shift happening.
Yeah.
Because I know for myself when I write, you put something out to the world. Mm-hmm. And I often, if I'm writing it, I'm really assessing it. And I go, is that what I truly believe?
Yeah.
And I would think that you are also having that same thing. Like, why is this coming up for me? Because mm-hmm. I'm also self-reflective. Mm-hmm. And it actually, you end up shifting yourself and go, no, I don't believe that. Or no, this is how we step into our power.
Yeah. And I never realized I had as many limiting beliefs as I do. Yeah,
they're especially sneaky little buggers.
Around money and success, like
right.
huge limiting beliefs. And it makes me angry because I know it's what is what will hold me back from achieving what I want.
Can you
to
say
achieve.
More about that? How would that, what I don't know if you want to tell me what the limiting belief is or how is that going to hold you back? Is it you afraid of success?
I honestly, I'm still diving deep into understanding what they are. Like, I know I have them. I'm not 100% not sure what they are or why I have them. I think some of it comes to the belief that, well, I'm just a one woman in Quispam Cis in Eastern Canada. Like, who am I? I don't live in California.
Who am I to think that I can help?
Who aren't you? You know, why not you?
And the other one actually comes like within my own industry that I don't make videos on how to dress skinny.
Right.
Where those YouTube videos, they get thousands.
Ugh.
Thousands.
Yes. So you're not going to drop to that level.
You were the disruptor in your industry. You were disrupting.
Right. And so, but that isn't as sexy.
No, it's not sexy.
Because women want solutions to be skinny. Because they think it's going to bring them happiness. And so I'm like, I know I don't want to do that. I know I'm not going to do that. But then what I question is, well, can I ever be successful?
Of course you can. And you already are.
Yeah. We
every woman that you have helped, Amanda, to look in the mirror and see herself, mm-hmm. herself.
Mm-hmm. Well, right. And that greatly impacts me. But when it comes to the whole money thing, is I grew up in that generation where you have to finish high school. You have to go to university. You need stability. I also became a mom at 21. Mm-hmm. So being a mom at 21 influenced all of my decisions when it came to my career and money. I needed predictability, sure. I needed security, and I wanted to give my son the life that I had. Mm-hmm. And so that required money.
A job.
And
a much more linear path.
Right. And so I'm having to now undo that linear thinking, which I just naturally am a linear thinker. I have to be able to take risk and not put the amount that's in my bank account determine my self-worth.
Right.
Also, the other thing is, at the beginning, I didn't really know the value that I brought to women. And I didn't, because I didn't know the value I brought, I didn't value myself because I didn't really know what kind of impact I could have. So I didn't value myself. So when I priced myself, I way undervalued myself.
Mm-hmm. And for a long period of time. Have you reassessed that now?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, these are things that you're working on now.
Well, what happened was crap hit the fan in May. I was letting my clients determine what service they needed. And I was letting my clients determine when I provided service. And May, I woke up every morning thinking, I can't do this. I don't want to do this. I was unhappy. And I'm like, whoa, this is not what I signed up for. I need to make a shift. So then I shift my services. So I made a huge drastic shift with the type of services that I provide. Because I had to think of what is my end goal? What is it that I want for myself? And I started there and then worked myself backwards.
You reverse engineered it, bravo.
Right? So what is it that I want? What kind of lifestyle do I want? So what decisions do I need to make to get me there? What do I need to say no to so that I can say yes to other things? Right. And so I made changes to the types of service I provide. I made changes to the cost and the investment that my services provide. So I want less one-on-one. I want more VIP clients. And only to the women who really value and want my services, not the ones who are like making decisions because, oh, well, it's this cost. trust. Right. They actually know the value long term that I can provide in their lives, and they have no problem saying yes.
This isn't a Band-Aid fix. This is a huge shift.
Yeah. So I only want women who actually will invest in their time and my time. Mm. And so now I've created my services so I can get clear on those clients and accept
your
those
ideal. And I think you can, because I follow you closely, and it's there is to me a clarity. And I thank you for being vulnerable, because I think again we look at people and we make assumptions about where they're going or what they're doing. And you know, you're admitting, you know, so for people to go, we're all in this trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. Like no matter what, especially if you're on the entrepreneurial path, there's all sorts of struggles, and it's not, you know, clearly upward and easy.
It's really messy, but it's that value. It's getting back to the value that you offer. Mm-hmm. And I think that having women feel good, you know, and like I said, looking in the mirror and really seeing who they are, mm-hmm. I think we start to understand our value, not just in our work, but to humanity.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very closely linked.
Do you have a philosophy that you sort of abide by now?
One of the ones that I used to say is like, it's not about the clothes. It's about how you feel in your clothes. Mm-hmm. Cause it is, it's about the feeling, the mindset, mm-hmm. not about what you actually wear, but I guess it's more like, I just want women to know how to authentically express who they are. Mm. No matter what size they are, they don't have to lose 25 pounds to feel worthy, to feel good in their clothes. Right. They don't have to change anything. They don't have to wait. They don't have to delay happiness because they're unhappy.
It's right now.
That's a key one.
How can people find you, Amanda?
What's the best way? I have a website, simplystylish.ca. I'm on Facebook. I'm very active on social media. I love social media because I love connecting and engaging with women, and I love helping. So I'm on Facebook. I'm Simply Stylish Inc. And then I'm on Instagram, where I'm very active, like on my stories. I do lots of lives. That is,
I love your lives.
Simply Stylish SJ. And so how you can work with me is by hiring me for one-on-one, in person or virtual. I have an amazing system that I do virtually with clients, and I've done not hundreds, but
you're getting there.
I'm getting there for my virtual clients, and they've found huge value. And I don't have to be there in person to provide it. And then I also wanted a way because my goal is to help as many women as possible. Mm. Now, being only one person,
there's limitations.
There's limitations.
Find a way to scale that.
Right. So I was like, how do I scale? How do I complete my mission? So that is through online learning. So that's where the Style Insider Academy.
Your membership group.
My membership came about, where I'm teaching them all the tools that they need. They just need to make the commitment to making that change. And I'm there to support them at a lower cost. Yes. So I made it so like it doesn't matter what background you have, you can afford it.
And even for the creatives?
Oh, yeah.
they'll find their style in there.
Yeah, because it's about connecting with yourself and you learning and making your decisions.
There's the underlying theme right there, connecting with yourself.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for connecting with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, that was fun.
Thanks, Amanda.
Thanks.
I'm Dana Lloyd.
And I'm Elaine Shannon. You've been listening to Soul Sister Conversations, the podcast. You can connect with Dana at danalloydleadership.com. And you can connect with Elaine at elaineshannon.com. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. And join us for more Soul Sister Conversations. Thanks for listening.